kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right. Alright, welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Tuesday, April 26, 2022. Talking about Ponderology and the Lucifer Effect. Is something bad happening in America, or is it just business as usual? Continuing in Jonathan Wallace's article titled Donald Trump and the Prisoner's Dilemma. This was published back in January of 2017, but I think every bit as relevant, if not more so, today as when it was published, first published. So, and again, If you step back and think more broadly, I think you can see the application. It's the focus is, you know, again, the title of the article, Donald Trump and the Prisoner's Dilemma. The focus is obvious, but you can see a pattern emerge, I think, if we step back and we're not just focused on Donald Trump and his constituency, if you will. Donald Trump's political method is an all-betrayal strategy. This helped him win the nomination by nonstop slander of his Republican adversaries. He repeatedly established he would stop at absolutely nothing, as when he accused Ted Cruz's father of being involved in the Kennedy assassination. Trump's birtherism, exemplified by his confident but completely false statement that he had investigators in Hawaii, and one could not believe what they were finding, was an adroit, newsworthy betrayal. And to put it that way is interesting. Adroit, newsworthy betrayal. Trump's behavior toward the Dreamers is a very disturbing, fascinating case study in the all-betrayal strategy. He evidently wants to deport all the Dreamers to the countries most of them don't remember, and in many cases do not even speak the language. To accomplish this, he has, using Hitler's, yes, sorry, there it is, big lie approach, engaged in apparent acts of cooperation, that were actually betrayals. Speaking of how much he loves the Dreamers and wants a good outcome, while reversing the Obama order which created their status. He claimed that he was not trying to harm them, just pushing Congress to adjust their status, while using these extremely vulnerable human beings as bargaining chips to obtain concessions on his border wall. He then apparently, purely for show, ran an hour-long bipartisan meeting at which he again called for a solution of love and promised to sign any compromise the Congress brought him. Within a day or two, when senators from both parties came to the Oval Office to discuss a compromise they reached, they found Republican senators unalterably opposed to the Dreamers unexpectedly waiting. And Trump, as he acknowledged later in the day in phone calls to friends, played to his base by complaining about the immigrants from blank countries and then blaming the Democrats for not finding a solution. Historically, the worst betrayals of all are false acts of cooperation, like inviting an enemy to a parlay and then killing him. Some betrayals are overt and truthful violence, But the lowest kind of all involve fraud. Trump is a con man. Trump University was a classic long con. He specializes in the fraudulent act of apparent cooperation. And his whole strategy regarding the Dreamers has been to destroy them while appearing to wish them vaguely, or to wish vaguely to help them, and then blaming their destruction on someone else. Hitler, though generally more truthful than Trump about violence and hate, also engaged in a lot of fraud in the early years, offering negotiations, then claiming a betrayal by the other side, thus justifying his own act of betrayal. The Reichstag fire was a move in a prisoner's dilemma. You know, parenthetically, as just a brief parenthetical aside, some folks have observed that, you know, if you read David Irving's Hitler's War, you come away with a different perspective on that. And I would say the folks, you know, read Hitler's War by David Irving, and then read pretty much anything Anthony Sutton wrote on the Second World War and the folks who were financing it, essentially, and engineering it, and you'll have a completely different perspective. That's an aside. So, continuing, the saddest thing of all about the all-betrayal strategy is that historically it is never successful. I don't believe there is a coherent example of a constant series of betrayals leading to a stable regime that lasted 1,000 years. And I would add here parenthetically, the Machiavellian enemy of my enemy is my friend strategy ensures eventually there will be zero friends and infinite enemies. It sounds like Jonathan Quitney's book, Endless Enemies, The Making of an Unfriendly World, and Gary Webb's, Dark Alliance, Gary Webb, his synopsis of Quitney's book, that when you go around the world shooting people with American guns and American bullets, it tends to make enemies. And, you know, that should call to mind immediately Gladio, which has not left us. You know, where does the gun walking come from? Where is Fast and Furious? You know, how is this happening? It's the same old Gladio strategy that never left us. So Wallace writes, full disclosure, I'm not totally sure about the Byzantine Empire, which I haven't studied closely enough, but I suspect I would find that there had to be more cooperation than betrayal for a polity to last that long. Internal betrayals in Athens led to its fall to Philip and Alexander within a century or two. Mutual betrayal in the Roman Republic after the primacy and assassination of Julius Caesar created a constantly unstable regime that fell to the barbarians four centuries later. In modern times, with improvement, quote-unquote, of travel times and destructiveness of armament, all betrayers, such as Napoleon and Hitler, have tended to go down in flames in their own lifetimes. If you take a long view of history, and, you know, again, this, we're not incorporating or factoring in those who engineer these wars, who have to burn all bridges after the fact to make sure that, you know, folks like Napoleon are not around to tell the rest of us where the bodies are buried. So, you know, that's why you have to have a Knight of the Long Knives, that kind of thing. If you take a long view of history, which we routinely do with the Greeks and Romans, just not ourselves, the act of trusting a betrayer whose attentions are focused on someone else is almost always a mistake. The act of trusting a betrayer whose attentions are focused on someone else is almost always a mistake. Again, the Machiavellian enemy of my enemy is my friend scheme ensures eventually zero friends, infinite enemies, all enemies. Since politics is actually a many-to-many endeavor and the prisoner's dilemma too reductive in modeling it as a game with only three players, two prisoners and a cop, sometimes two cops, good cop, bad cop. It is easy to miss the fact that there are usually people cooperating with a betrayer who think of themselves as colleagues, not victims. People more or less willingly collaborating in the betrayal, who do not stop to think that someone who would betray the victim, and openly with these people, I would add, is capable of one day betraying them. How does that escape people? How is that possible? I marvel at that. Ernst Röhm of the SA was a close friend and early ally of Adolf Hitler and a co-founder of the Storm Battalion, the SA, the Nazi Party's militia, and later was its commander. By 1934, the German army feared the SA's influence, and Hitler had come to see Röhm as a potential rival. So he was executed during the Night of the Long Knives. Ross Perot was unusually perceptive about the psychology of the prisoner's dilemma when he fired employees who had cheated on wives, saying that anyone who would lie to a spouse would certainly lie to a boss. Many Shakespeare tragedies, for example Macbeth, include the theme of helping the autocrat betray other people while wrongly assuming he will not betray you. The history of mafia families also inevitably seems to lead from collaborations like the Appalachian Conference to the murder of Paul Castellano as he exited Sparks Steakhouse. Nothing personal, it's just business. For a subset of Trump's base, voting for him was a deliberately nihilistic act of betrayal of the perceived establishment in Washington. I would almost say it's that, but also one's fellow American. This, by the way, Wallace writes, I have previously named the scorpion move. After the old story about the scorpion which bites the frog, carrying it across a stream, eventually, though, it will itself drown because that is my nature, quote unquote. Suicide bombing is a scorpion move in a prisoner's dilemma, also frequently involving fraud, like the men posing as journalists who talked their way in to see a bin Laden adversary a day or two after 9/11 and then blew themselves and him up. But again, I don't think everything is as we're led to believe there. I digress. Trump is a higher life form, does not feel he owes any obligation of truth or loyalty to his base. But see, this is, again, this is what's taught in places like Harvard Kennedy School. It's not unique to Donald Trump or Joe Biden or. It's, you know, a staple of the ruling class, if you will. Similar to the strategy of pretending to praise the Dreamers while working for their total destruction, Trump has consistently betrayed his own base. Again, they always attack their own base, which invokes and deepens Stockholm Syndrome and a further cognitive bias, or the Bates and Double Bind. It literally makes a constituency schizophrenic, psychologically ill. How ironic. If you can't step back from it, say, now, wait a minute, separate yourself. So Trump has consistently betrayed his own base by endorsing legislation such as the tax cuts and the Obamacare repeal and envisioning cuts to entitlements, quote unquote, after expressly promising not to, that will cause them increased suffering. I recommend Thomas Frank's What's the Matter with Kansas? Though I don't recall the author mentioning the prisoner's dilemma, the book is an exemplary analysis of how an entire class of people, almost from 1800 on, has been betrayed into voting against their own jobs, health, mortgages, and education. Trump voters thus include a large group which has been betrayed in every American prisoner's dilemma since the beginning. And, you know, can't we include Biden at all? Obama at all? All of the charismatic folks. And that starts to tread on sacred, hallowed ground. It's fascinating, you know. I have seen in social media people clamoring for universal health care. Let's just hurry up. That's that thing that they're talking about. That's a scheme. Let's get hurry up and get universal health care. I can't believe it. Let's be honest and call it eugenics health care. You know, Bill Gates will be happy to sit on death panels, but that's called a death panel, and we can't talk about that. You know, those last 3 years of life are really expensive. Who decides when the last 3 years of life are, Bill? There are countless stories of folks who were on their deathbed, according to doctors, who walk out of the hospital and live for years more. Who decides when the last 3 years of life occur? I think that's, isn't that called playing God? Continuing, given the magnitude of the existential threat Trump's all betrayal strategy represents to what remains of our Constitution and culture, the only way out would be cooperation between the Republicans and Democrats to counter the threat via the 25th Amendment or impeachment. The spectacle of so many Republicans cooperating with a president who has already repeatedly betrayed them is rather astonishing. There's a certain self-preservation that comes to mind as well. You know, I know that he does these things. If I don't ingratiate myself to this, and again, this is all Machiavellian nonsense. If you read The Prince, it's like this is all lifted from The Prince. If I don't cooperate with this guy, then he'll try to destroy me too, publicly embarrass and humiliate me, may ruin my political career, etc. It's a perilous, you know, dance. And you have to sort of balance that with, if I'm too closely aligned with him, the same thing may happen. So continuing, as if the individuals involved were suffering from some sort of paralysis or death wish. And so that's the end of Jonathan Wallace's article. I would only add, I agree with the general sentiments of the American founders on the only way out. Not so much cooperation, but the only way out, an antidote to Ponderology and the Lucifer Effect, is virtue, morality, and religion. God, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, imploring the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the cross, and so on. I would call that the antidote. There is a post, just to sort of conclude this, I've mentioned this in the past, from the Washington, Jefferson, and Madison Institute, No Liberty Without Virtue, by J. David Gowdy. And the sentiments expressed generally by these folks, you know, Gowdy writes, to our founding fathers, it was obvious or self-evident, quote-unquote, that self-government or a democratic republic could only be perpetuated by the self-governed. Reflecting these precepts, a contemporary German writer to the founders, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, you know, Faust, stated, this is, you know, age of enlightenment, age of reason stuff. This is perfectibilist stuff, arguably, but, you know, we don't have to go along with that entirely. What is the best government? That which teaches us to govern ourselves. And a later prominent 19th century minister, Henry Ward Beecher, simply said, there is no liberty to men who know not how to govern themselves. Self-governance consists of self-regulation of our behavior, ambitions, and passions. Yeah. We'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. All right. So, what am I talking about? John Adams summed it up. I'll say this and we'll move on. In a letter to Thomas Jefferson, June 28, 1813. Adams wrote, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence, the founding fathers of America, were the only principles in which that beautiful assembly of young gentlemen could unite. And what were these general principles? I answer, the general principles of Christianity, in which all these sects were united. And the general principles of English and American liberty, in which all those young men united, and which had united all parties in America in majorities sufficient to assert and maintain her independence. Now, I will avow that I then believe, and now believe, that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God, and that those principles of liberty are as unalterable as human nature and our terrestrial mundane system." And finally, to conclude, in another letter to Jefferson, Adams wrote, "Have you ever found in history one single example of a nation thoroughly corrupted that was afterwards restored to virtue? And without virtue, there can be no political liberty. Will you tell me how to prevent riches from becoming the effects of temperance and industry? Will you tell me how to prevent luxury from producing effeminacy, intoxication, extravagance, vice, and folly? I believe no effort in favor of virtue is lost." On that note, we go to the phones. Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Can you hear me, Chris?
Yes, sir.
I'm almost thoroughly exhausted, my friend. And I only wanted to take a short time. Yesterday, I probably sounded pretty gruff, roughshod. Last 45 minutes, I've been listening to you. I'm in agreement with you. But because of my lacking of brain power and my age, makes it difficult sometimes. I'm running a fast computer with three monitors. I'm not a geek or a nerd. I do one heck of a lot of research, and I keep a lot of notes, and they're strung all over the place. Well, that's my fault. I got to get them categorized. So when I say something over the air, I can give out what I believe to be accurate and true information. That fault lies on me. I don't want to take a lot of time. If I had my own show with 3 hours, which if it was offered to me, I would refuse the offer because I don't have the talent for it. But what I'm trying to do through RBN is to put out information that people can search on their own and make their own decisions and reason. And like you said, and it's said a lot of times, let us sit down and reason together. Reason. Now, not like Napoleon's General Berthier that incarcerated the Pope in 1798, which was the end of the 42 months of the 1260 days, which was 1260 years. And then the French had the revolution and they threw out the Bible and went to pure reason. But if you don't have a standard of morality, honesty, truth, You can reason till hell freezes over, and man is infallible. And if he doesn't have a standard of honesty, truth, virtue, morality, it's useless. Okay, Chris, I don't worship you. I don't worship John in Tennessee. I don't worship Dr. Day, that with the help of God, she cured her cancer. And Lorna, I think, in Alabama, Indiana, has the 5 children. I hold them in regard, and others. And if I may sound to you at times that I'm rough or opposing you, the way that I think of you, and I would hope that you'd keep this in mind, that you are one of my brothers in Christ, and I don't want to say that every time I call in. But I have people on RBN that I look at them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, as time goes by, and I call in, I wish people that are listening right now to have their pencils and papers handy. You put out a lot of verses, and that is terrific. That is great. I can't remember all the verses to back up what I say. But I have them, and I'll write them down in an orderly form. So any point that I'm trying to make, like the state of the dead and the non-immortality of human beings, I can back that up from verses, chapter, and verses from the Bible. And Christ said, to strengthen your faith, your knowledge and your understanding is through hearing, and through hearing of the Word. And the Word is the Bible. And the Bible is the King James Version. Now, I could go into detail explaining the battle of the Bible. And the different Protestant religions, 30,000, 40,000 Protestant religions. Do they all have the truth? No. The truth is in the hearing. And the hearing is the Word, and the Word is the Bible. Or you understand, the Holy Spirit will guide you and help you and strengthen you. So I have to get my act together, and I pray that I am correct. I do make mistakes, but to get the information that people can read and see it, and the knowledge, you can have a lot of knowledge, but you have to have understanding of that knowledge. And that takes effort. And even if I was capable of having my own show, which I am not, I would still be putting out information as to where to go. First of all, people, the Bible. And you can hear it from people that you'll have to discern whether they're correct or in error, or that they're meaning well, but they're in error, or whatever. And the more you understand the Bible, you can understand when posts on RBN or on the Idiot Box, you can more readily understand where they're coming from. The more you understand the Bible and the information in the Bible, you can pick this up almost instantly. But it takes a lot of effort and time. Now, out of the information that I want to put out, as time goes by, and I've been trying for 7 years, is start out, and this isn't the end all, but amazingdiscoveries.org. Start there. Now, because of Mike and Julie and Sam, in my opinion, my estimation, RBN has improved tremendously. And one reason for that is the Creator, Christ, and God, they and Christ are putting the truth out. Because it would be very unjust of the Creator to give you the chance and the ability to make the right choice. And without choice, there cannot be love. And God wants to be loved. But to have freedom and liberty, you have to have laws. Those laws are the Ten Commandments. And it's just like I said before. Let us reason together. But what standard are we going to use? I say the Word, the Bible. And I think that, see how many times, I've taken about 10 minutes. Okay, brother, Griff, in the faith, that's the way I feel about you and think about you. But call no man on earth father. Now, the separation of church and state, that went out the window. When did it happen? President Clinton. When the Pope was here, and he said, the Holy Father, welcome back. That's acknowledgement of one religion. So therefore, we don't have division of state and religion. And in our schools, children are taken from their parents if they mention the word. God or Jesus Christ, but a president of the United States put them together when Clinton said, welcome back, Holy Father, clapped his hands, and that smug, pleasant look you've been had, we've been had. And I got to watch using the word we. And when the second beast does all these terrible things, the we is the ignorant. But mainly the government system and how we've departed from the Constitution. And the Constitution, by and large, was constructed to protect the law of God. And it's been destroyed. Well, I I'm not going to take up any more time, brother. And I wish you and the listeners, and you have some great listeners that I admire. And I pray that I can be of help and not mislead people. And I do make mistakes, but I am willing to correct them and want to correct them. And if I'm corrected, I want that correction. And that's it for me today. Thank you, Brother Chris. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Fred. Much appreciated, as always. You know, in thinking about, sort of reflecting on Fred's comments today and yesterday, what comes to my mind, you know, there's a controversy about the founding of America, for example. And I think, to put it generally, both are true. You know, was there a conspiracy? Was it just as simple as Fred put it yesterday, you know, the religious persecution led to, you know, led certain folks to depart on a voyage that would, you know, chart a course, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I think there's a reality to that, absolutely. But I also believe that there was, you know, the compelling force of the hidden or unseen hand behind all of that. If you look at history over the last 2,000 years or so, it's been pregnant with this, you know, thing that we're seeing emerge now, finally. It's been waiting in the wings for a long time. If you read Manly Palmer Hall's The Secret Destiny of America, for example, you can find it on the Internet Archive. Oh, no, you can't. This item is no longer available. Item may be taken down for various reasons, including by decision of the uploader or due to violation of our terms of use. Yeah. But it's on Amazon, and you can find it other places. Not that I think we should give Amazon any business, but there's evidence of these things. You read guys like Arnold J. Toynbee, Alan Watt used to talk about this, you know, how if you want to, you know, and what's the other game? You know, the board game. I forget the other game. But, you know, these kinds of things that certain people actually do, and you can read about it in Manly P. Hall's The Secret Destiny of America, or Toynbee's A Study of Civilization, etc. This influence that's happening behind the scenes, and the infiltration, so to speak, of the, you know, the folks, the Order of Craftsmen and so forth, infiltrating, you know, basically taking on the form of Christianity, and then, you know, going from society to society, building these ancient cathedrals and so forth, what Manly P. Hall called the Order of the Dionysian Artificers, that he said originated among the Greeks and Syrians somewhere around 1500 BC. This, you know, these groups, you know, the way that Hall put it, and how much stock can we put in what he said? He's generalizing and giving no evidence, but and I'm sure there's a degree of misdirection there, and again, an attempt to weaken our faith in our leaders, so to speak. But, you know, he wrote, gradually the science of architecture took precedence and dominated the policies of the society. According to legend, when Solomon, king of Israel, resolved to build his temple, According to the will of his father David, he sent to Tyre and engaged the services of a cunning workman, Hiram Abiff, master of the Dionysian artificers. The members of this society held the exclusive right throughout the Greek states of designing the temples of the gods, the houses of government, the theaters of Dionysus, and the buildings used for the public games. Well, what about Genesis chapter 11? You know, this is where I think this is sort of a limited hangout of sorts, and we forget about all of this other history. So this is one example of what I'm talking about. But I think that there is a reality to what Hall was saying, and there's more going on here, and there's a wolf masquerading among the sheep, so to speak. The way that Hall put it, the rise of the Christian church broke up the intellectual pattern of the classical pagan world by persecution of this pattern's ideologies. You know, and this is the Platonic contingent, if you will, that is now, you know, categorized by the Neoplatonic contingent. So Hall writes, by persecution of this pattern's ideologies, it drove the secret societies into greater secrecy. The pagan intellectuals then reclothed their original ideas in a garment of Christian phraseology, but bestowed the keys of the symbolism only upon those duly initiated and bound to secrecy by their vows. And there's more, but doesn't it kind of sound like, I mean, we have all of this crazy symbolism from our own founding. How do we reconcile, I don't know, guys like Benjamin Franklin and the Hellfire Club, for example, and, you know, Jeffersonian sympathy for Illuminism, it seems, in Jefferson's apparent defense of Adam Weishaupt, and so on. I mean, there's, you know, if you just sort of ponder these things and ruminate on them, you can see evidence of what Hall points to, and you can see further evidence of that in, again, you know, things like what guys like Albert Pike wrote, and that letter that I mentioned earlier today, in fact, the letter, or that I alluded to, I should say, I didn't mention it, but the letter to Giuseppe Mazzini, August 15, 1871, the what I call the most prophetic letter allegedly never written. It's not in the British Museum, well, or British Museum Library. How convenient. So, you know, this is not stuff that most people spend time thinking about, but for those who are intrigued, I guess, or curious about these things, maybe intrigued isn't the best word, but who are interested in these sorts of things without becoming morbidly preoccupied, I believe there is more to the story, which does not detract from the efforts of folks like John Adams, for example, in my humble estimation. That's just kind of where I'm at in my investigation of it all. On that note, back to the phones. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning. You were talking, you were reading something that somebody wrote about Trump.
Yes.
I couldn't tell what you were reading or what was your opinion, but I think you agreed with him.
It's Jonathan Wallace's Donald Trump and the Prisoner's Dilemma. I agree with Jonathan Wallace that everything in America, he said the Prisoner's Dilemma is universal. Everything is a prisoner's dilemma. And I think in America today, that's true. So I agree with him to that extent.
Prisoner's Dorma.
The Prisoner's Dilemma.
Oh, dilemma. Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. Have you read Trump's book called Crippled America?
No.
That he wrote before he... Really?
Nope.
You, the reader? Well, and it's going to be because people have told me your first books don't have to have a table of contents. Or I said, nay, I can't find anything. So, you know, you got to highlight it. And well, and the chapters have a title, you know, but you can't go back and find a specific thing. So anyway, I was reading what he said the other day, and he started talking about it at his speech last Saturday. And I thought, well, that must be a point.
I'm curious to hear. Curious to hear what the point of that is. We'll get to that when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Go ahead, Pat.
What I was speaking of that he was that here, see, everybody comes over there and they say things that's not true all over. I mean, America's the most awful person on country on earth, that everybody's trying to get away from here. We have boat people trying to get away from here. Now we do. I mean, I'm ready to leave myself. But I think Trump was doing a pretty good job, but nobody ever wants to give him any credit. And he did do what he said. He said people will tell you what they're going to. I run it on my record, he said. But then you look and they didn't really do anything. He didn't have a record to run on except how awful a person he was. Well, that doesn't apply to David Duke. You can be a bit wrong when you're young, but you can't be wrong when you own hotels all over the world, right?
That's definitely one way to look at it.
Did Plato say that we should put people in office who are rich because they don't need to be bribed?
I'm not sure.
Okay, that's paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Well, we tried that, and well, the fact he couldn't be bribed made him mad.
I don't agree that he can't be bribed. I just think that most of us don't have the wherewithal to be able to bribe someone like Donald Trump. Most of us don't, but that doesn't mean that he's not, it's not possible.
Things and that he misspoke, like, one time he says, no, I'm not going to fight that lawsuit. He fights every lawsuit, because if he didn't, he would be totally inundated with lawsuits.
Well, he has initiated plenty, too, so.
Well, all you see the ones he's been fighting for all these years, including right now. But that judge out there that was settled that lawsuit in California was a La Raza proponent. He said, oh, he's Mexican. I'm not going to fight it. He's Mexican. And so then they said he's prejudiced against Mexicans. No, that's what he meant, La Raza. You know what that is, don't you, in California?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What he was saying is the man's not interested in justice. He's interested in his cause. He's not a just judge. And on and on and on. It goes all the time. But there's nobody except Paul Kelso who thinks that Trump's worth killing. And what can I say? We got what we got.
Well, and, the point that I was making in mentioning Jonathan Wallace's Donald Trump and the Prisoner's Dilemma really transcends Trump and Biden and all of the what I would call puppets or figureheads. It's what is happening in America. And I think that what Jonathan Wallace wrote is what's happening in America. For those who are interested in some of what I was talking about earlier and the duality, not that anyone should investigate, but if you can read Manly P. Hall's The Secret Destiny of America, Chapter 7 in particular, the democratic tradition preserved by secret societies, I think you'll find it fascinating. That'll do it for today's broadcast. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good. And every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.